This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the mini-sode.
And this week,
it's Christmas.
And we're still sick.
Oh, yeah. We're both sick now.
Just let us be. If you hear us sniffling or coughing, we're sorry. We do pull away from the mic as much as it doesn't seem like it.
Yeah.
But just so you're aware.
It's started working in an office and now I'm sick constantly.
Yeah, it's really disgusting because people just like come in with literal walking pneumonia and just work the whole day. So it's very exciting. People are rude.
At least I took one day off.
Yeah, same. I took like 1.5 days off, but it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still dying on the inside, but who isn't?
But this week, we're doing something a little different. We decided to watch a horror movie, but we also wanted to give you like a little bit of history on the character of Krampus, which is the movie we're covering this week.
Yes.
And I like knew of Krampus because of this movie and everyone started getting crazy about Krampus.
So have you seen this movie before?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I knew what it was after the movie came out. And like the last podcast on the left, guys, I'm sure have talked about it before. I think I remember them talking about it. So like I knew who he was, but I've never watched the movie before.
Yeah, I hadn't either. I like same thing. I've heard of him before. I don't know exactly from where, but like,
yeah,
I'm like, yeah, he's, well, depending on from where you're from or what you believe, he's like the anti-Santa and he punishes the kids and everything and whatevs.
Yep. So we decided before we get into our discussion and review of the movie that we are going to give you a brief history of Krampus because it's literally a page long. It's brief as hell. And mostly what I found on the internet is that like it originated in Austria. But it's really hard to say where things like that folklore originate. So if you think it originates from where you're from, I'm sorry. The internet told me Austria. So Krampus is a character that derived from Central European folklore. He is a half goat, half demon figure who punishes children who have misbehaved. And he's basically, if you've ever watched the new Sabrina the Teenage Witch, he looks like the devil character that they have in there. Okay. And like the classic Beelzebub, I don't know how to actually say that word, character where he's like just a giant goat man with like these big ass horns on his head. And he's pretty creepy looking. And he is the antithesis to Saint Nicholas, who we all know brings gifts to the well-behaved children.
So that's like anti-Santa.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in America, like Santa also gives you coal if you're bad, not like a whole nother figure doing it. So
makes it easier to believe in. I think.
Kind of. It's Santa's a hard one, but maybe people listen to this with kids in the car, so we're not going to talk about Santa that much.
It's just the anti-Santa thing.
His roots supposedly have nothing to do with Christmas originally. Instead, they date back to pre-Germanic paganism. His name originates from the German word Krampen, which means claw. And this tradition is that he was the son of the Norse god of the underworld, cleverly named Hell.
H-E-L.
I know. But like, it's hell.
Yeah.
During the 12th century, the Catholic Church attempted to banish Krampus celebrations because he so closely resembled the devil. And more attempts to get rid of these ceremonies occurred in 1934. And these attempts were done by Austria's Conservative Christian Social Party. But none of it held, as it was a feared / beloved holiday tradition. It's like, to me, Krampus is like the American Elf on the Shelf. I hate Elf on the Shelf.
Oh, God.
Because Elf on the Shelf is literally just there to be like, he's going to watch you, and if you're bad, he's going to go tell Santa. Yeah. And, like, that's basically what Krampus does.
He's just
does.
A big old tattletale.
Yeah, fuck that elf guy.
Fuck that elf guy.
And in some parts of Europe, there is a Feast of St. Nicholas, which occurs on December 6th. And the night before, on December 5th, is called Krampus Night. It's like Krampus Day. And, or it's pronounced, I'm going to try, Krampusnacht? Krampusnacht?
I think it would be Kromp. Krampus? If it's German, like Krampusnacht.
Sure.
Whatever.
You sound really quiet.
La!
I think you just have to talk a little louder.
Okay.
Because you were sounding real quiet there for a second. Or maybe I just can't hear because my ears are bad right now.
Well, my throat is also bad right now.
It's true. But it depends on where you are. The tradition is like Krampus either walks around the streets by himself on December 5th, or he walks around with Saint Nick to each home, punishing the naughty children with Saint Nick, essentially.
Oh.
Yeah. Like Saint Nick will be like, you get a toy, and Krampus is like, you go to hell.
See, I've never heard that version. I always heard the one where they're totally separate.
Yeah. Apparently, like, in some traditions, they hang out.
Hmm.
And Krampus can do anything from supplying coal and rutin bundles, or he beats children with birch branches, or even stuffs them into his sack, and they are then taken to his lair to be tortured or eaten. So, fun. It's a real wide range of what can happen to you if you're naughty during the year.
You can get some coal, which will start your fire, or you'll be eaten.
Yeah, so really watch out this year.
So, it has since evolved into events like Krampuslauf, which translates to Krampus Run.
Yeah.
And this is where men would dress like Krampus and just run through the streets of town scaring local children.
From what I read, it was like mostly drunk men.
Me.
Which makes sense.
I want to be Krampus. So this tradition still carries on until this day, as does Krampenstaunt. Like, and we read earlier that Detroit like has a parade every year on Krampus Night and
yeah.
stuff like that. So it still is alive today. And in the 1890s, the postcard industry experienced a boom in Germany and Austria. Holiday cards started sporting terrifying drawings of Krampus going after children with Gruß von Krampus written on them, which is greetings from Krampus.
Yeah. And they're actually like, it's really pretty font where it says like greetings from Krampus. And then it's just like this terrifying demon trying to kill children.
It's just like that girl that we know that got her arm tattooed and it says fuck, but it's in a really pretty font. So Krampus was largely unknown in the U.S. until 2004 when an art director and graphic designer, Monty Beauchamp. Beauchamp?
Yeah, I thought it was Beauchamp. I'm not sure.
Monty Beauchamp published a book of these Krampus cards. And this, of course, isn't the only reason for the gain in popularity, but it definitely helped. And as did the film we are going to be discussing today, the 2015 release of Krampus.
Yeah, and there have been like a couple of other movies done after it.
Mm-hmm.
That I've read online are like really bad, like just terrible movies.
Yeah, because
so.
I saw like Krampus Origins and stuff
yeah.
like that.
And I'm pretty sure like this, like, what is it called? I don't know. This film, mm-hmm. like they did make a second one to my understanding, but
okay.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but
yeah.
like there was 1,000 spinoffs.
Yeah. So Krampus, like we said, was released in 2015. It was written and directed by Michael Daughtry, and he is known for working on other films like Superman Returns is probably the one he'd probably be best mm-hmm. known for. Trick or Treat, which is also a great like horror comedy movie.
And I saw like I was looking up like Krampus trivia basically. And there's a bunch of, like, little Easter eggs that, like, hint to the trick-or-treat movie in Krampus.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Like, she's watching it on the kitchen TV and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I did notice that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we watched, like, 2 or 3 years ago at this point. We had a night where we watched just, like, a bunch of old Halloween horror comedy movies is what I'm trying to say. And Trick-or-Treat was one of them, and it's really funny. And he also did Godzilla King of Monsters, which came out this year. I had no interest in seeing it, but
I didn't either.
It's a fan favorite. But do you want to just go into your rating of the film?
Sure. What is yours first?
You're not going to like mine.
What is yours?
My rating is a fucking 10 out of 10. I loved everything about this movie. I thought it was the greatest fucking movie ever. And I loved it. I love horror comedy movies, though. Like, I just think they're a great genre.
See, okay, so the only, like, horror comedy I've ever watched is Scream or, like, Scary Movie.
Cabin in the Woods is a horror comedy.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like a parody of horror
movies.
Well,
I know that, but I didn't get any, like, comedy out of it.
Yeah.
I'll have to rewatch
it. You'll have to rewatch it, because we watched it when we were, like, 16, I think.
Yeah.
And I've watched it as an adult, and it's very funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna give it a 6.
Yeah, I knew you didn't like it. I knew you were. I was like, I'm gonna be so pissed because I know Sarah doesn't like this movie.
Corey really liked it.
Oh, really?
He did.
I would have assumed he didn't like it.
I thought that. You're gonna hate my opinions.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought it was kind of stupid, but it was really entertaining. And mm-hmm. I thought that it would, like, it's a really good movie to, like, just kill time and just sit and watch and not get, like, super invested in. Or it would be a really good movie if I were, like, drunk or high.
Yeah.
Like, but it wasn't the best movie ever to me.
No, I loved it. It was just, like, the whole time I was watching it, like, I was having fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it was really entertaining.
Yeah.
But it's not what I expected because I had no idea what this movie was about.
Oh, okay.
So I thought, like, I expected more horror and less comedy.
Yeah.
And it really threw me for a loop.
Yeah, no, I dug it. I thought, obviously not like a real 10 out of 10 because there are some things with the movies that I didn't like, but like a 10 out of 10, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Oh, but one thing I really wanted to say mm-hmm. is that because I had no interest in seeing the movie when it came out.
Okay.
So I didn't even know that it had a bomb ass fucking cast.
It does.
Like, I didn't know that Adam Scott was in it or that his wife was Toni Collette.
And my first thing, I looked and I saw her and I was like, who is that actress? And I was like, she's the cop from Unbelievable. Yeah. So that's one of my notes.
Also, this is completely unrelated, but the other cop from Unbelievable mm-hmm. is in Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you ever want to watch a movie that'll make you just sob and feel really sad afterwards, watch Marriage Story.
I'll have to do that to get
very sad. I cried three times watching it.
Damn.
It was very sad. And then also the guy from The Office, David Kushner. I don't know how to say his last name.
I don't know. The whole time I was like, fucking Todd Packer.
And then his wife, Allison Tolman. I was like, she is so familiar. Mm-hmm. And apparently she's in the first season of Fargo, which is like an outstanding television show that I have not gotten around to watching.
Me either, but it won a bunch of Oscars and stuff. Yeah,
and she also was in Castle Rock.
Which you watched?
Yes, and she was in Brooklyn Nine-Nine for 2 episodes.
Snap, I don't remember her.
So she's like one of those actresses that is like a bunch of smaller parts, and you always like, where have I seen her before?
Mm-hmm.
So she was kind of throwing me through a loop when I was watching it. But did you break it up like likes and dislikes, or how'd you do it?
I didn't. I basically just, I didn't do it like a timeline like we did before. I just wrote down my thoughts whenever I had one.
Yeah, same.
Okay.
So this is my first thought, because I did split it into likes and dislikes.
Okay.
But my favorite joke in the entire movie is when, like, it starts to change and it's, like, really, really dark outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the DHL driver comes to their door. And I don't even know the character's name, but Todd Packer from The Office and his wife, they're, like, on the front porch. And there's, like, a big bag of gifts on the front porch. And the wife says... Because he's like, oh, so they just get, like, free shit whenever? And she goes, probably because they're Democrats. Yeah. And it made me laugh so fucking hard when she said that.
His name is Howard.
Howard, okay.
Also, the woman who plays Aunt Dorothy, I was like, I know her from something. And I thought she was the woman who played Joe Bennett in The Office, but she's not.
Absolutely not.
She played... on 2.5 Men for, like, all 1,000 seasons that they did. Okay. And I used to watch that show.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's a badass bitch. I love her.
Yeah.
But his name is Howard.
Okay.
In the show. I looked up the cast.
Howard and his wife are, like, on the porch. And she basically just, like, mumbles probably because they're Democrats. And it made me laugh really hard.
One thing that I liked was the opening. It really grabbed you in. And it was the perfect rendition of a Black Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, that part was funny. The one thing I will say that I disliked about the movie, and this is like a pet peeve across all movies who do this, the sound change. Because we would be watching it and could not hear them talking and would turn it up. And then there would be a scene with, like, just music and we would have to turn it down because it was just, like, fucking blasting. Okay. It was so loud.
We didn't have that issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. How did you watch it? On Amazon?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just, like, constantly had to change the sound because I couldn't hear the people talking. And then the music and, like, the rain scenes were, like, overwhelmingly loud on the volume we had put it on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just, like, a pet peeve in general in a lot of movies that I have is, like, get your shit figured out.
Ours was really, like, shaky. But I have a feeling it was just my phone. Like, from one scene to another, it was, like, wasn't, like, smooth transitioning. But I think it was my phone just, like, kind of freezing the frames.
It might have been. But I also did experience whenever the screen would go black, there would be this really thin white line across the top about a fourth of the way down.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh. That's weird because it's not like it's a DVD or something like that. It could be scratched and you're seeing that. I don't know. I thought that was funny.
I loved Omi.
The grandma?
Yeah, but I wanted to know what language she was speaking. If it was German or Austrian or what?
I don't know. I'm gonna assume German because I'm ignorant.
I think it was German.
But it could very easily be Austrian or something. I will say... And this is just, again, another pet peeve of horror movies in general. I hate the trope of the foreign grandparent not being able to speak English the entire movie. And then suddenly when they get to tell their story, they just, like, speak in perfect English.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I turned to Taylor and I was like, she's going to fucking tell him the story in English, isn't she? And he was like, yeah, because he had seen it before.
Yeah, I didn't, like... She obviously knew English because, like, Tom would speak English to her.
Yeah.
But, like,
She didn't speak it at all up until that point.
And I was like, my guy.
Grandma, what you doing? Like, also, Grandma, you knew that this could happen and you did not warn anybody.
Well, she tried, like, even though Max was really sad, she tried to, like, keep him in the Christmas spirit and stuff.
Like, did that little scene where she, like, looked off into the distance really quickly when he was talking about not wanting to send his note to Santa. Mm-hmm. And, like, just straight up fucking tell your family, like, yo, when I was a kid, my entire family died because we lost the Christmas spirit. Like, maybe that's something important we should know.
Nah, it's fine.
But whatever. I mean, it wouldn't be a horror filmy.
It'd make a real short movie.
Yeah, it would. I will say I loved the scene where the daughter is like under the car and he's circling her, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's just such a classic horror movie scene.
Yeah.
And then when like the box comes, like the little Jack in the box, I felt like that was really fun. And like, I that did was like kind of like the spookiest interaction, I think.
Mm-hmm. I did really like that scene. I wish that they had done more with Beth, though, because I liked her character.
I did, too. I felt the same way. I was like, get all of his shitty kids out of here and give me more of the sister.
Yeah.
But.
So this is probably going to be unpopular opinion.
Okay.
But I didn't like that the origin story was animated.
I wrote down that I loved that.
I figured. I just felt like it would have, like, it was cute and I wanted it to be creepier, and I felt like if it wasn't animated, it would have been creepier.
Yeah. I think it's really hard for movies where the characters that are scary would only be scary if you were reading them on a page.
Mm-hmm.
Like, did you see It too?
No.
Oh. Well, the same thing happens in It too that happens in this movie when they're in the attic and it's like that weird clown thing that came out of the Jack in the Box mm-hmm. and like all of those dolls and stuff. And like, if that was happening to in real life, it would be fucking horrifying. But in the context of a movie, it seems silly.
Yeah.
And
it
like,
was
that's
silly.
That's the same thing in It Chapter 2, because Stephen King drew up all of these characters that are like inherently very creepy and would creep you out. But just seeing them on a movie screen, it's like there's no way to make them actually creepy. So I feel like that's kind of why they animated it, because they knew like no matter what, it's not going to be as fully creepy as you want it to be, you know. But I could just be totally fucking making that up. So
when I was in the middle of watching it before I saw all of the other characters that attacked in the attic.
Yeah.
And it was just the gingerbread men. I wrote, I feel like they could have used a scarier sidekick than the gingerbread man from Shrek. Because it looked like the one from Shrek.
It did. But I feel like any gingerbread man would look like the one from Shrek because it's a gingerbread man.
That's true. I was just like, it's literally the one from Shrek.
Yeah. I did like that there was like lots of women getting to kill things and like lots of women who are like taking a stand. Like the aunt is like, fuck it, take me to hell, and just like goes along. And the wife who's not Toni Collette, who kind of seems like not a strong character at all during the movie, then she like gets to kill the things when she sees it going after her daughter and like all of that. I thought that was kind of cool, because really the men didn't do a whole lot. Like, they shot their guns, but that was pretty much all they did.
Like, in the beginning they did.
Yeah.
But then like the women saved the day, basically.
Yeah. And I thought that was like fun and cute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't take any other notes. My last note is about the very end of the movie. So if you have anything else.
I just wrote that I felt like there needed to be a stronger reaction to two of their kids being missing.
Yeah.
Like, in the beginning. And they're all just like, oh, well, two of them are gone. I guess we have to, like, save the rest. And, like,
yeah.
Where in reality, it would have been a total freak out.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. And I was talking to Corey and I was like, bitch saved Todd Packer over Beth. And, like, when he heard, like, I don't know if it was Beth or not screaming, and he like saved Todd Packer instead, I was just like, but your daughter's so much better.
Yeah. I don't think it was his daughter personally. Yeah, I think she was already dead at that point, and it was like to lure him. But I feel you, like, no one seemed actually all that concerned that children were missing until the baby went missing. And then the mom like kind of screamed. And that was still pretty much it.
And I also wrote, like, they all like piled in the corner when all the elves came in and yeah. literally just left the baby on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was like, same.
Yeah, I was like, I think before the baby was on the ground, it was the aunt holding the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if they still assumed that the aunt had the baby and then when they got rushed into the yeah. corner. I really did like the elves, like, masks and stuff. Yes. I thought those were very creepy.
Yeah, like, I liked the his sidekicks, like, the elves and stuff like that. Yeah. But obviously the ones that were toys
yeah.
were kind of stupid looking.
And like I said earlier, I feel like there's just no good way to yeah. make things like that scary.
It was just a weird combination of such scary good looking yeah. makeup and whatever to kind of ridiculous stuff.
Yeah. When we first started watching, I was like, oh no, isn't this movie supposed to just be funny? Am I gonna have nightmares? Like when they showed Krampus for the first
yeah,
time.
Yeah, like his face up close when Max was talking to him.
Yeah.
I was like, they did a good job yeah. on this makeup.
Yeah, it was very creepy. I don't like goat humans in general. Like watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch whenever the devil comes in, I'm like, mm-hmm. you creep me out. So it shouldn't actually be like a 10 out of 10 for me because the one thing I disliked about the movie pretty much was the ending.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a series of emotions as the ending was happening because first you think it was just going to be the shitty, it was all a dream ending.
Yeah.
And then it's not because the whole family remembers what happened to them. And then you see the snow globes.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated the ending up until we saw the snow globes because I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, if I sat through another fucking movie or television show where it ends in a dream, I'm going to be pissed. But
see, like, I yeah. did that too. Like, I was like, it's literally just a dream. And Corey, like, stopped and he was like, but it's soft lighting. He was like,
yeah.
it's a dream within a dream or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the snow globes happened.
Yeah, that's what, like, when he woke up, I was like, the lighting is super ethereal, mm-hmm. so it's probably not just a dream. But at first, I was hella pissed because if it was just a dream, I was going to be pissed. But the thing I love about, like, horror movies in general, whether it's a horror comedy or anything, is, like, max 100, max an hour and 40 minutes of a
yeah.
movie, you know? Like, usually an hour 30. And that's my kind of movie, man. Anything over 2 hours, I'm like,
I can't pay attention.
Could have been shorter. I haven't watched The Irishmen yet because it's 3 hours and 10 minutes.
That's disgusting.
And, like, I just don't have the time.
Yeah.
Marriage Story was 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I was like, y'all are lucky. It's only 10 minutes over my limit. Like,
yeah.
I
was going to say, Corey liked the ending because I asked his opinion on it
yeah.
at the end. And he said, because, like, a snow globe is a symbol of something that you, like, make a wish into and then mm-hmm. you shake it. And he, like, wished for his family back and whatever.
Right.
And then I said that I liked it for different reasons. Like, it was kind of confusing in the beginning of the end, I guess. and then as I thought about it, I was kind of like, well, you don't know if they're dead, if they're going to live their lives over, if like it's gonna be like a they wake up to Christmas every day
yeah
kind of thing. So there's like different endings that you kind of can think of in your head that happen.
Yeah.
So I do like that.
It's like it could be Groundhog Day but Christmas.
Exactly.
I want to look it up because I could have sworn that I saw there is a Krampus too, because I remember seeing like Max Ingle is grown up.
Mm-hmm. And I like that their last name is Ingle because, like, that's, I think, like, the German word or something for angel. And
yeah.
it's very cute.
Maybe they didn't actually do one. I don't think they did.
Also, Howie Jr. was a weird character. All of the children were weird characters.
All of the children were weird characters, but that character was trying so hard to be Dudley from Harry Potter that it, like, really pissed me off. And I was like, get the fuck out of my face with this character.
Yeah, it was weird.
It was weird. But we hope that you guys liked this minisode. It was very casual because, like, it's fucking Christmas.
Yeah, like, today is Christmas Day, so after you listen to this great episode,
yeah,
go watch it. Like, yeah. It's definitely, it's family friendly. It's a little scary for, like, little kids.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be something fun to do with your family when you're just sitting around bored.
Yeah, like let's watch something stupid together.
Exactly.
Because, like, it's like a fun stupid to me.
Yeah, and I feel like you don't have to, like, super pay attention to it, like, yeah, that hard, and it's entertaining as hell.
Yeah, for sure. And we hope that you have survived the holidays, as they are tough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't celebrate Christmas, I hope you had an awesome Wednesday off.
Right? Well, it's the middle of Hanukkah right now.
Yeah, but not everyone just celebrates Christmas and Hanukkah.
I know. I just don't know any other dates of holidays right now.
Yeah. But we hope that you guys liked this episode. If you would like, go and leave a 5-star review. Tell us that you liked Krampus. Tell us that you like us. Anything you want. And check us out on social media.
Yeah, at Crime Binge anywhere. And we will see you with our next minisode next year.
Oh, shit. She said it. She said the next year thing. All right, guys. And keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.